The next word that comes out of your mouth better be some brilliant fucking Mark Twain shit. Because it's definitely getting chiseled on your tombstone.
Welcome. Too loyal to the gore. With
Eric.
I was born dumb, but you would like to be smart, wouldn't you?
And
Ashley!
This isn't heaven.
But you ain't the devil. Is this ain't hell?
Oh, no. No.
We gotta go. We gotta get out of here. They're coming.
Though it's only our second episode, we already have a guest. I am so excited to introduce our listeners to this director of the brand new movie, Porch Pirate. Please give it up for Dorian Vasquez. Dorian, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, thank
you. Pretty good. Thanks for joining us on here, man.
Yeah. Sorry to hear about the testosterone.
Yeah, the lowest of T's. They call me Terminator 3, Rise of the Testosterone. The more they pump into me, the more tits I grow. It's exciting.
Oh, man, if only we could siphon off some of mine and give it to Eric. I have so much body hair.
I've been making a captain sweater with it.
Oh, man, I could just crochet you a whole blanket with these pubes. All right. So, you know, Dorian, it's so funny that we, to my knowledge, we've never met, but we absolutely know so many of the same people. In fact, you have some of my Philly comedy friends in this movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Ellie Summerling.
Oh, yeah, Ellie is tremendous.
She was great in this film. She was fantastic. I've known her for quite a while. Ellie and I first met at Comedy is Liberty. Did you ever go to the Troc?
Yes, that was years ago. That was
yes.
Oh man, I remember when that shut down too. That was like a huge issue.
Yeah.
That's
sad.
Yeah, no, that was one of those spots that it was like, "Oh man, this is going." That was like down the block from the house too. It was nice.
Yeah, I loved going there for, like, you know, pro shows, like big concerts that would come through.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I met Ellie there during Comedy is Liberty with Hannah Harkness. In fact, some of the Philly comedians from up there.
Oh, man, you're bringing me back. I haven't seen Hannah in forever.
Isn't that's another, that crazy?
That's another, like, I got along with her because she is also a snake owner, so.
That's right. Mm. Well, she's also into wrestling, which my co-host, Eric.
Yeah.
Is a big old gay for wrestling.
Love it. You trot out John Cena in that bald spot, and this guy's turgid for sure.
Stop bringing up the bald spot. I can't jerk off anything down.
I was thinking about that bald spot the other day too. I'm like, oh, look, he's got a couple more years before he has to do the Kurt Angle. Just gotta go.
Yeah. Well, I like the fact that Cena, he lives a life where he's like, you know what? I don't see it in the mirror. I'm fine. Everybody else. He, every time he's flaming a peacemaker, he's like, I get to wear a helmet. That's cool. I don't, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, we could just blame it on the helmet.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's why my ass is so hairy. I'm like, I don't see it. It must look great back there. Like,
same here. Samesies.
Well, so Dorian, I appreciate you letting us have like an early sort of pre-screening of the film on our own, which we so appreciate. This is such a great concept, if I can say so. And I love the name. It's so perfect for sort of the time we're living in. What made you want to do this film specifically?
So it came from a mix of different things. The main story that we used was, there was an article, it's actually funny. Drew Montana on his podcast, they brought this article up for Durag and the Deer Tech. It was about a guy who stole a box of stuff from a medical supply truck, and when he opened it up, it turned out to have body parts inside.
Ah.
And the thing is that, like, the articles, they leave it so, like, up for your imagination that it's like, wait, did this guy, like, was he trying to get fentanyl, or was he trying to, like, or was this an elaborate prank?
Right.
But the guy's in jail because, like, yeah, you can't steal a box of heads.
I thought this was America, okay? I mean,
I thought this was America. These are my heads.
What's wrong? I can't get a little head here? I thought this was the United States.
Well, you know what's so funny? And one of the reasons I sort of absolutely, when I heard you were doing this film, and I knew I wanted to have you on when I knew we were rebranding.
Yeah.
Eric knows this very well. The apartment I am taping from, I had tenants who might be able to even hear this conversation. When they moved in, I had mail that started disappearing. Mm-hmm. And I would even catch people red-handed walking off
with
my mail.
I almost hate to bring that up. Like, if the only political stance I have throughout the entire thing is that it's unfortunate that private companies like Amazon and everything are essentially taking over on the delivery system.
Yeah.
Because now it doesn't become a federal offense when people steal your shit.
You're right.
And if it was still these people would definitely be in jail for more than just a ticket if it was still delivered by the USPS.
That's crazy that has not once honestly even crossed my mind.
No, not at all. I was just really like, I was, you know, 8 beers deep the other day. We're like, you know what's crazy?
Yeah, Eric does that too. Eric will be like, what if my nipples produce Bud Light?
Yeah. What if I was milking everybody's buzz for real?
If your nipples produce Bud Light, that is actually the number one symptom of too much testosterone.
Yeah, I would first of all, definitely wouldn't leave the house. I'd just be self-feeding constantly. What are you doing? Not leaving ever. Shut up.
Honestly.
You got one of those little milkers. You're doing this.
A breast pump.
Yeah.
Yeah. A breast pump. That's what it's called.
Yeah. Just pumping it right back into my own mouth. Like, it's good. Oddly enough, it's actually Bud Ice.
whenever your balls turn blue, that's how you know it's cold.
I was watching your film earlier today, and immediately. The idea of somebody stealing a box and then that person going out to murder that person. I was like, who hurt you, Dorian? What did they take from you where they were like, what if I was a serial killer and I murdered this person I caught on my Ring camera?
So interestingly enough, that's kind of where the idea came from a little bit. It's like I think I cast it as the lurker in the actual film.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, it's a nameless, faceless person. And the whole idea ended up becoming that this is not anyone specific. This is an entity that encompasses every feeling you have when you get shit stolen from you.
I love that. That's so accurate. That's so real. When, you know, we were discussing earlier too, that one of your, because we won't give too much away, obviously, because we want people to go and see your film. We want people to go to your Philly screenings and all that, and Delco. We noticed, though, that you have someone early on in the film that we both know, which is the very funny, very talented Paige Campbell.
Oh, Paige has been, I say Paige and Ellie have probably been the rocks behind this thing.
Oh, that's
they
awesome.
They were so on board. One of the most passionate dudes and honestly, super talented.
Yes.
You know, it's one of those things where, like, I think I was just getting to know him and I casted him in this role. And it was a very, like, oh, we just wanted to shoot a proof of concept. And then we ended up using that for the beginning of the film. It wasn't even going to make it in, to be honest.
That's wild.
But he was so good and he takes direction so well, man. I got to work with him again. I got to put him in other things.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. And
he really would smoke crack, truly. Like, he has the face of a crackhead.
Well, that was a little bit of makeup, but
I gotta be honest with you. I've seen him in real life once or twice. I'd be like, no, I would believe that he indulges. I knew that he wasn't a real crackhead though. When he picked up a regular bowl, I was like, that's not how this. I've been to Baltimore. That's not how you smoke crack. You gotta light the bottom.
Yeah. No. I well, I wasn't going to go buy an opiate pipe for this. You know, we're working on a limited budget here.
Would you consider a sequel, you know, like Porch Pirate 2, Fentanyl Boogaloo?
I also like that you are on such a shoestring budget, you couldn't afford the light bulb to make that. that's a tight budget.
I couldn't take a screwdriver to the bottom of a light bulb. No, I wasn't going to do all that.
Not have a boom light? Okay. I guess fuck the production then.
Oh, man. I could have asked anybody in the neighborhood. Anybody got a crack pipe I can borrow for 2 seconds? 2 seconds. I'll give it right back to you.
We were
filming in North Philly at that point. I could have just walked outside and found one.
Yeah.
Man, it's so funny. People are always like, when are you coming back? And I'm like, oh, why would I leave Baltimore? It's like the same thing, but closer. But no, would you consider sort of doing a sequel? Are you planning any films after this already?
Yes, I am. I did consider a sequel. In fact, I think we were like maybe halfway through. Mm-hmm. It took us about 2 years to make the entire project because we shot over certain points of time and just everybody's schedules. One of the cast members was actually a replacement for someone else. Because that person ended up getting like feature work, you know, for Gillis and whatnot. So it's like, okay, so we have to, we can't. And he's like, oh, well, I can be on set for like 2-3 hours at a time. It's like, nah, we'll just recast. You go do what you do. No hard feelings.
Is that not the truth of working with comedians? Be like, oh man.
Oh, flakiest people on the planet.
I can't do your film. I'm getting paid in drink tickets this weekend. I can't work. I'm sorry.
Oh, hey, look. To be fair, that's also my fault for not casting people who are just actors.
Yeah.
But I wanted my friends who in it that, you know, they, you know, I've worked with these people on sketches and stuff before. So I was like, yeah, let me help out the people I see immediately. Like, and they helped me out and I paid them to be in it. So it's like, yeah, now you have an eye. Now I'm going to give everybody an IMDb credit at some point when I, you know, can afford to do that.
That's awesome.
But as far as other projects, though, yeah, a short film I made in 2021, I believe, or 2020, The Patron. We are reworking that because we're trying to hammer that out as a feature.
Okay.
I pretty much wrote it as a feature initially, and that one is it's almost where I need it to be, and that might be the next project. In between that time, we're going to work on other stuff. I have thought about a sequel to this.
Okay.
It's not going to be a direct sequel, but it will be more of a story from what I wrote so far is more of a detective story and where we actually find out who the real person is.
Porch Pirate, The Secret of the Black Pearl. I'm excited.
Yeah. The working title I have so far is Lurker, and it would be like something complete, like just, yeah. If I do Porch Pirate 2, that's a completely different thing. That's going to end up being a little bit more... a little bit more Chainsaw Massacre-y.
Can I say a little more titties? Because I would love like... Not enough titty. How about like Porch Butt Pirate and it's nothing but people doing anal on your porch?
An erotic love story.
Yeah. Just be like, oh no, step brother, you stole my package. No, we so appreciate you coming on to talk about this.
As a gay stepbrother porn, that actually would be, somebody stole my butt fleshlight. Now what butt will I stick my penis in? Well, I guess I can help a brother out.
Ooh, I kind of like this.
That's
okay.
Actually my film idea, The Gape Escape. So
if The Gape Escape?
You'd be more respectful of my intellectual property.
Oh, that's so funny because Eric and I are working on a movie called First Responders Down Under, and it's just getting tag teamed by ambulance workers.
Yes.
It's real. Australian ambulance workers.
Yeah, they're our first line. And we respect that about our emergency responders. When's the next big viewing of this that our listeners can go check out? Do you have any big screenings coming up? How can people help Dorian Vasquez out?
I'm working on getting the next few locally. I have one buddy who wants to put it on in his house. That would be a free screening. We're trying to do one in Delaware at some point. One of my buddies has a funeral home down there, so we're going to try to get it there.
Unfortunately,
I don't have dates, but you know, if you follow my social media or the Baby Goblin Productions page, yeah, everything will be posted there. The next one we have is going to be in June. That will be at, I think it's Reitman's University.
Okay.
Part of Delco Horror Haven's screenings.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Cool. Unfortunately, they're a short film festival, but they do help out a lot of people with feature films. So that's, yeah, we're fortunate enough to get in with them.
That's awesome. Well, you know what? I'm going to throw it out here right now. I don't know if there's any help to you. Eric and I both know that Warehouse Cinemas, based now in Baltimore, Frederick, and Hagerstown, are a small local chain that popped up. They would be open probably because they've done other screenings for small movies. So okay. Warehouse Cinemas. The other option is there is an art house cinema in York, PA, and one called like Zootropolis or whatever in Lancaster. You should check with them.
I will definitely be hitting you up later to get all that information. Yeah.
Yeah. We love to help out. You know, Eric and I are such huge horror fans, which is, you know, why Eric brought me on almost 4 years ago to his podcast Quality Time. So we love going to festivals. We love helping out new and upcoming filmmakers. So this is fantastic. We loved watching your movie and this is very exciting.
Yeah. I'm glad you guys liked it. It's so funny. I think this past screening that we had in Philly was the first one that I could actually sit back and just enjoy it because I've been so meticulous about fixing it throughout the entire process that I basically just didn't blink for the entire first like first two or three viewings. And I'm just sitting there like, fuck, what did I miss? This is wrong. I'm terrible. Why did I even bother?
You've just accepted this is what it is now. And now it's, now you just roll with it, right?
A little bit of that and a little bit of like basically every other time I see a new thing wrong, I just go back to the computer and I re-render it with just that little edit. I keep uploading it and then YouTube keeps flagging it for stupid things.
Is there anything like going back that if you had, let's say, a bigger budget, what would you have done differently? Like double the budget of this film, you had an investor. What are some things you would have changed with it?
There's a couple scenes that we did not shoot. One of which would have been a dream sequence type scene where it is the main character actually finally all the guilt is weighing in on him subconsciously. Because throughout the movie, like I don't think I'm spoiling anything by saying that the main character is a drug using, you know, he's on Xanax for most of the movie. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
he's like
loser.
He's like just not reacting to most of the things happening.
Real cool guy.
I would have shot a lot more things to emphasize that, and obviously I would probably spend a little bit more time, you know, with properly, you know, getting all the shots that I actually wanted. We had like two or three other scenes that we wanted to shoot a little bit more thoroughly. The driving scene for sure. I would have liked to have been able to block off streets so I could shoot that. I would love that when we shoot in Philly, we don't have kids coming up and trying to like, can I be in the movie?
Yeah, that was another thing I asked. Did you get any cool shots with the local that happened just because you were filming in Philadelphia and somebody showed up? Did somebody impromptu become part of the movie?
I think there are definitely some random background people who are just like guys that are walking down the street. The scene of the bus coming by in like the middle of the movie when you're in South Philly. It was just a great moment to show, okay, we're in South Philly right now. But that definitely, none of that was planned. It was just like, we're guerrilla shooting majority of this movie.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
I like, because things like that I love, like that scene in Dumb and Dumber when he comes out of the 7-Eleven and he walks out, he goes,
oh, yeah.
Oh, hey,
big gulps, huh?
Big gulps, huh?
All right.
All right. That's just,
well, see you
just
later.
Random guys standing outside. I was curious if there was any of those moments there that I didn't pick up because now I look for things
so
like that.
Not on this, but on my personal YouTube page, we have a sketch there called, what the fuck is the name of the sketch? It's called The Luigi Board.
Okay.
And essentially the first half of the sketch is supposed to be a trailer for an Italian Ouija board.
Okay. The Luigi Board.
Yeah. And then the second half is Italians protesting how much of a gross depiction this is of Italians. But in that, I bring that up to because this happened during the riots, so I think it was hilarious.
Oh, hell yeah!
So we basically just stood outside by the Rocky statue, and we just had these guys protesting. It was like, oh yeah, I'm offended. Mm-hmm. I'm offended. All this shit. And throughout that entire process, these kids from, because it's like, you know, that museum area is kind of, you know, West Philly is like literally just right there.
Mm-hmm.
So all these kids that just have nothing to do throughout the day, they just start biking through our shots, like fucking up our shots. And they're all like jacked 12-year-olds. So it's like we're a bunch of
feral
teens. Comedians. Yeah. Feral teens is a great way to put it. And that was the first time I ever had like a, oh, catch flies with honey versus vinegar. Instead of trying to tell them to fuck off, I said, hey, do you guys want to be in this? And they were like, yes.
Right.
And at that moment, they cooperated perfectly. I was like, okay, this is what I need you guys to do. Mm-hmm. Literally stand here, just out of shot. I'm going to cut the camera to you guys. And I just need you to look at, like, I don't get what's happening right now.
Right.
They took the direction very well. And that ended up being the last frame of the shot, which was these Italians fucking protesting stupid shit. And it's like, it keeps going, getting worse and worse. Like, they forget what they're protesting and they just divulge into, we hate pineapple on pizza.
That ain't and then even it just a cuts. Pizza. Hey.
And then we just pan slightly over and it's just this group of like 7 or 8 like black kids from West Philly just looking on, like, and that was the shot. And that sealed the deal on the movie.
Aww. That's fantastic.
No, it ended up working out, and you know, some of my more like scowly, you know, crew members didn't get their asses kicked. So that, it helped out. I was glad that happened.
Well, I'll tell you, not only is that a very funny sketch, there's nothing more uniting in this country than our group hate of Italians.
yeah.
Just absolute garbage group of people. I got to tell you, as a German, if there's a group of people I hate, it's the Italians.
I don't serve them or the Irish at my bar. They can tell it walking.
No, we were laughing about that on set because immediately, I don't know if you guys have had this, especially if you work on any type of project, whether it's a sketch or whatever, you kind of become the proverbial qualifier. So everybody starts sending you their ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that sketch that we put out, immediately like 5 different people that we knew sent us other really racist Italian sketches.
Hell yeah.
And it's like, no, that's not what we are. Like,
yeah, I make one 9/11 joke and then I get a ton of DMs that are just like, hey, you know what's really funny? You know what group of people we should definitely put in a burning building? I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to open this one.
They send you fun parody songs and they're like, wait a minute, I don't think this is Cardi B's version of WAP.
I'm a woman in comedy. There's no shortage of like, hey, can I tell you how you could be funny like a man? And I'm like, joke's on you, sir. I'm almost a man.
Oh my god,
Dorian, it's been such a pleasure. We won't keep you. We are so excited for you. Again, listeners, please follow I believe you said it was Baby Goblin Productions.
Mm-hmm.
That's Baby Goblin Productions is the Instagram, the .com, the YouTube channel, all Facebook like page, it's all the things.
Yeah, fantastic. And get out there and go catch a Porch Pirate when it comes to a local screening near you or is available online so you can just watch it. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, man. I think the next step is we will try to get it. The goal is to get it on something like Tubi or whatever so anybody could see it and I don't have to charge people directly. You know, I could just make money off ads.
Sir, this is far too quality of a movie to be on Tubi.
You know, it's so funny. People told me that before. I'm like, I don't know, man. Drew's haircut changes a lot throughout.
Are you putting it on Tubi just so Cat Williams doesn't say anything about you? It's not available on Tubi, man.
Honestly, Tubi was my goal. Like, if I could be like, no, dude, if I can get this on Tubi and it just not be a movie that just fades away on my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Great. That's the goal.
Dorian, you're thinking too small. Not Tubi. No, my man. You need to go for Freevee.
Oh,
yo, facts.
Freevee.
Roku TV, Netflix, whatever would take us, man.
That's where it's at.
Like, we did shoot the movie on Netflix-approved cameras, so, like, I'm hoping
that's
that...
dope.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in the next few months. But yeah, no.
Oh yeah.
Once after every festival decides to turn us down, we'll.
Oh, man, yeah. You and me both, brother. Am I right? Well, we so appreciate you coming on. Thank you again for your time, and we thank you for letting us watch your movie. We're very proud of you. This is fantastic.
Oh, thank you, guys. By the way, send me your shirt sizes. I'll send you guys some merch.
Ooh,
did you have extra husky?
I got everything from extra small or small to 3X. So okay, just let me know what you need.
1.5 to 3X.
Woohoo! My double XL body feels recognized.
Show up in a giant shirt, and I'm like, boys, there's room for you to snuggle up under these folds.
Okay, you guys like baseball tees?
Oh, hell yeah. No one needs to know I'm a lesbian yet.
Don't baseball tease me, pal.
Well, thank you so much, Dorian, and we just can't wait to see you do so much more in the future.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me again. Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully the next thing will be out soon. We'll just a matter of filming it.
We look forward to it. Thanks again, Dorian. Loyal to the gore. All right, and we're back to Loyal to the Gore. What a great interview that was. Yeah. You know, he was a good interview. We learned some really deep insights about the world of independent filmmaking. Make the local feral teens part of the action and you won't have any problems.
I love that we actually know like a decent amount of filmmakers. You know what I mean? Like we know Brandon Lescure, we know Chris De La Martina.
Yeah.
So we actually know a lot of people. I will say I tried to hide my face at one point during the interview.
Pete Jackalum, shout outs.
Oh, yes, that's right. I had to, even though our audience can't see me, but you can. I smelled something at one point during the interview and I'm looking around. I'm like, it smells like vomit. And I look over and they go, oh, there it is. My cat threw up next to my foot during the interview.
Cats always be puking around you, man.
Man, talk about wet ass pussy. It's literally just soaking through my carpet. Just everywhere.
The worms mean it's fresh.
No, my kitties don't have worms. If anything, I'm the one with worms. I don't eat well-cooked meat. I don't care. I just give it to me raw and wit and wiggling. I'm the fucking, I can't even fucking think.
You're the orc from what's it called? Right?
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. There you go. Golem. There you go.
No, that's not right either.
There you go. Give it wit and wriggling. No, the troll. There you go. The trolls.
No, that's not.
Are they the trolls? They're like who holds them up? It's the trolls.
Smeagol.
I said Golem. Golem is Smeagol.
Golem. Oh, whatever.
Golem. Come on.
Golem. What the? I hate that. Don't.
Golem.
Golem. I used to share that screenshot all the time from the film when it's like, meat's back on the menu, boys. And I'm like, me when I'm going out clubbing.
Ash, kicking it back into high gear here. I think we both ended up screening this next movie this week. What have we been watching? And I think we both have seen now Late Night with the Devil, just dropped on Shudder finally. Much anticipation. What are your thoughts on the new release?
So it wasn't bad. I will say I liked it. I will say it's not what I was expecting. And I'm not sure what I was expecting. But there's a few parts where I kind of went, that felt rushed. Or that didn't feel explained. There wasn't as much gore as I wanted. And there was a little bit too much CGI where I would have preferred practical effects, to be honest.
Yeah, but I did like that they tried to make the CGI effects look like they were 1970s special effects, which was a nice touch. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
And for our listeners who aren't familiar with Late Night with the Devil, it is a talk show, a David Letterman-esque, Johnny Carson era late night talk show that is not doing well. And the premise is to have a supernatural episode where someone possessed by the devil shows up, and all types of wackadoo stuff happens. I will say, and I don't think this is a spoiler, like the first act of that of it kind of rough to get through.
Yes.
It's a little bit of like, you have to appreciate, yep, this is what 70s TV was like. And like,
right.
Okay, cool. And then they do that for 30 minutes. And then...
Right. Well, no, I agree with Eric, because then I feel like some of the darker spots where we could have had a really dark, scary, mm-hmm. gripping story, we have to now rush through because we've lost all this time to the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like act one, a little bit wasted, but act two picked up really good. And I did enjoy the banter with the skeptical guy. But oddly enough, the scariest part of the movie is the part with the skeptical guy. Like, he does the coolest thing in the movie easily.
Right.
Which was pretty fucking awesome.
No, I would say I'd probably give it like a B+.
Yeah, I think B+. I'm about there with it. It's not an A. I might give it a B regular, even a B regular. Good for Shudder standards, I would say. I mean, because I've seen some real clankers with the Shudder name on it in my past. Yeah. Looking at you, Skidamarink. But there is. This one was actually a fun romp. I feel like it's very well done overall. I think the execution, and when you watch movies that are like, oh, this is like a, you know, this is a real concept kind of movie where it's like, okay, it's a late night show where you also get to see the found footage off stage. And I know that that's how they present it. And I had thought, I was like, man, this has potential to be really fucking bad. When I heard that, because I've seen so many others done like this where it's not good. I will say this is well executed. I feel like you get the perfect amount of story. But even those cutscenes, I thought I want to see something fucking really creepy happen off camera that the viewers didn't get to see. And they don't do that. And I feel like a kind of letdown.
Well, you know what I'll say too, without like trying to, you know, shitting on it too hard or anything, and without giving too much away either, I did get excited that there is a Bohemian Grove tie-in. And then when you realize it's called, the show, his talk show is called Night Owls. And I was like, oh, I love that.
Oh, I didn't even pick that up. But yeah, totally Bohemian Grove. Look at that.
Yeah, I love one of my favorite things to talk about conspiracy. Like, I'm not super into conspiracy theories, though I do enjoy talking about them. One of my favorites is Bohemian Grove. It's one of my absolutely favorite topics. Mm-hmm. And
you and Jesse the Body Ventura.
That's, man, I have definitely been called the body, but not for the same reason.
This is my Jesse the Body broken for you. Here, Bohemian Grove.
You're like, is this blood? And I'm like, sorry, my diva cup is all I had.
And she took the diva cup and it was overflowing. And it uncorked like a champagne bottle exploding.
Place your hands in my pussy hole in fear and feel where I have been pierced. Do you doubt how much I get fucked? This feels so sacrilegious. You know, real quick, because we're on this topic, I saw a meme today that just tickled me right up the butthole, which is, it said, of course, I fathered a son in her Holy Ghost. And I was like, that's just silly. Haha, sacrilegious. I love a good like conspiracy theory tie-in, like a good one. Mm-hmm. And we don't hear that one a lot. Bohemian Grove is not like a super popular one these days for horror or anything. And I was like, this is gonna be fucking dark and maybe even David Lynchian. Like, it's gonna have this really eerie, uncomfortable vibe. And we just didn't get there, if I can be honest.
Yeah, until those people are putting thumbs up each other's asses, it's not Bohemian Grove. Let me tell you that. If anything, Richard Nixon has told me from the tapes, there's lots of gay sex happening and very little in this film.
Eric, I call Eric, I call my butthole the Bohemian Grove because a lot of rich dudes have been there, but they deny it.
Oh, gosh. But yeah.
That's so funny. We both watched it the same night. I'm surprised I didn't feel a disturbance. Maybe that was the diarrhea I had around 11:30.
Wait a minute. Did you also have diarrhea at 11:30? Because
I did.
We might have fucking... is our Rhea synced up right now? Are we on a Rhea cycle?
Rhea thinking sounds like something you need crystals for.
Rhea Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Oh man, there's a lot of wax in this figure.
House of Cracks. This is we could do this all day. No, but I suggest anybody who has access to Shudder, go check it out. Shudder does it. They deserve their wins, and I'd say this is an overall win for them, for sure.
Oh, wait, one more. Eric works at Madame Tussauds.
So I'm not just a member. I'm not just the president. I'm also a client.
Oh man, audience, I'm so sorry. I'm having the worst time breathing.
Just living. Ash, you have been on a sick spell for a long time, and you don't even have children that bring in the petri dish of all of the sicknesses in the world.
No, I am. Man, I have no idea where I picked this up. I'm assuming I had the flu possibly like 2 weeks ago, and then I think it's turned into a sinus infection that I've just been slowly battling. I just feel like I'm drowning in just a vat of mucus and not cum, unfortunately. So it's a real problem. Does it make me great for podcasts or live comedy shows? It's hard to find me funny when I'm like on stage in front of 100 people and I'm like you know when you're on dating.
It was funny. A couple of weeks ago, I was supposed to be on a show with you that I had to call out of because it was,
yes.
I was supposed to do Bussy. I couldn't sing because I think I had the same affliction that you had.
Probably.
Which really just, it really just prevented you from getting it a week earlier, I think. Yeah. But that next night I went out to do this other show because it was just stand up. I was like, I could probably do stand. I can't sing, but I could probably do that. And let me tell you, I finally can sound like a real man when I actually have like a sickness because I have a high-pitched, very annoying voice. I know that. Your listeners, if you're listening, you know that too. But when I'm just getting back and I have to talk like I'm Sam Elliott, I'll tell you what, those jokes hit a little different. They hit a little different.
Well, Eric, I would not say that your voice is like feminine or high-pitched. Annoying, maybe. But
I know when it sounds like a compliment, it's going to be an attack. I know you well enough now.
Oh, just spreading the love around.
I always smile and I'm like, do not show her that it hurts you.
It's okay. When someone says something mean to me on another podcast and Eric starts laughing, I'm like, yo, I'm going to get you back, bitch.
Why? I get in trouble just for laughing at it.
Yeah, oh, it's man. Rude. You should have my back, bitch.
I got your backs.
Why would you say backs is in plural? Hateful.
You know why.
Ass. All right. Now I don't feel bad about anything I say to you.
Damn it. So look, you had posed this question though, and I feel it's a question that I could answer. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because I have kids, and Ashley, yes. You had a hypothetical. We were actually looking for some listener response from.
Yeah, so listeners, you can always DM us. I personally, even though I'm on social media all the time because I am constantly trying to escape how much I hate being alive, you can actually just Gmail us. So our new email is loyal2thegore. So loyal2thegore@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts. I have noticed an uptick in friends that have now had kids, both men and women. Where I will be like, hey, don't you love this horror movie? Or have you seen this new horror movie? And they go, I can't enjoy it the same now that I have kids. And I'll give you both examples, okay? We were talking about Pet Sematary, and my best friend goes, I can't watch it anymore. And I said, why? And she goes, I have a kid. The idea of my kid getting run over by a truck is so horrifying that I can no longer enjoy the movie. The other movie was When Evil Lurks, which Eric and I have discussed privately before.
I think we talked about When Evil Lurks on maybe the Quality Time at one time. If not, we should talk about it here.
Well, I think we did briefly because it was so new and we didn't want to ruin it, I think. And I think it came out around the time Jeremy died. The movie, without like spoiling too much, there's a scene where a child is mauled and dragged away by a fucking pit bull.
So here's the thing, Ashley. Here's the thing. I think there's two types of parents in this world. There's this lovely parent that you spoke with who seems like a normal, well-to-do person who has a certain level of fucking empathy, sympathy for their children and children in general. And then there's me who has children. And the second that dog latched onto that kid, I went, fuck yes! When it drags that kid off by the face, I popped so hard. I was like, honey, get down here. You got to see this. Look, remember when they fuck with the dog? This is what they get.
I remember I was like eating popcorn. I was sitting in my bed watching it at home on Shudder. And I remember the minute it happens, I go, fuck. I just could not believe. I was like, that's a damn good move. That's a damn fine move, my guy.
I love that. First of all, I laughed so hard during Evil Lurks. That entire scene, it runs off with the fucking kid. And it's about, you get to watch it run down the street with its little body dragging. And then it's like a comical, it's like, we got to find the kid. I love them driving around looking for it. And it's still dragging the kid like a mile later. Oh, God, it made me laugh so fucking hard.
It's a wild movie. I'm trying to think though, like, here's what I'll tell you. I obviously don't have children, but I've thought like, oh, is there a horror movie that I find so like dark and disturbing that I don't like enjoy it, especially like violence against children, like is the example of that what we're talking about. I would say I had a hard time the first time I ever watched The Witch. From like what, 2014, 2012 when that came out, because, and it's been out long enough, I'm just gonna say it, there is obviously a scene where you don't directly see like violence against the baby, but the baby gets taken and there's blood and like flesh, and you're under the impression this witch has murdered this male baby and turned him into witchcraft soup.
Yeah, as you do sometimes. And is that, I don't know, man. Here's the thing. I don't think any of the, it's funny when you mentioned that you wanted to talk about this, I thought it was like, you can't watch horror movies around your kids. Like, cause that I can't, I have trouble doing. Watching any horror never has, if anything, my tastes have only gotten worse over the years. For me, I think my kid thing is actually after my dog died. I hate watching dogs die in movies. Like one of my favorite movies is The Thing, and when the dog takes out other dogs in The Thing, I'm like, no, not that poor husky boy. He has so much spunk. I don't like seeing at dogs get killed in the movies. That's actually worse to me.
Yeah, that's wild. Excuse me. No, I mean, I do agree. I don't like animal violence either. But I hate when people are like, oh, I can't watch a movie with any animal violence. But I'm like, yeah, but what about a baby getting murdered on screen? And they're like, eh. I find that person makes me go like, ooh. But I have to say.
Yeah, it's funny. Those people still love the movie Milo and Otis that killed more animals, puppies and kittens than any other movie ever made.
So upsetting. You know what? I don't know if there is a sweet spot for me yet as far as like I don't have children, though I obviously have a lot of empathy when I see something on screen. I'm like, oh, that's a lot. But, you know, I mean, all I can really say is just since Jeremy died, I've been experiencing a lot less rape in my movies. It's so weird. I almost feel like there's a sense of loss, you know, like I'm watching a movie and I'm like waiting for this woman to have something non-consensually done to her and it doesn't happen. And I'm like, oh, weird.
Damn it. I always, you know, it's funny you bring up Jeremy because he's in hell now and that's sad. But, you know, what if Jeremy were to be reanimated as a Cenobite, what do you think his Cenobite would be? I know this is a side tangent, ooh, but...
Jeremy would just be called the Hoarder,
mm-hmm,
and he would have sort of like in Hellraiser 3, the one that shoots CDs, but Jeremy would just have all different types of media all just stuck through him because every time he kills like a human or something, or he, mm-hmm, tortures them, he's like, oh no, wait, that's good shit. And then he takes it and adds it to his flesh and he just keeps hoarding stuff from his victims.
I'm just thinking about it. You know, this isn't, I haven't put too much thought into it, but if I had to say, you know, the Cenobites, usually they have something in life that is part of their Cenobite life. And I would like to pose the idea that he comes back as a Dig Dug-esque Cenobite, where he has a pump that he can like just shoot into you and go boop, 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 and makes you explode in every direction. I like that. Also has the power to flake his skin and just bury you as a giant mound of dirt. So,
I was gonna say, if Jeremy ever came back as, say, like a Stephen King character, he would just be the giant rat from Graveyard Shift.
Damn it! Yes. Oh, the Rat King Cenobite.
Yeah,
his body's made out of rats, and just letting them out one by one. Or like, you know, that one Stephen King book, what is it, 1923, I believe it's called. I think it's 1923, where he kills his wife down the well, and then her body gets reanimated because it's filled with rats and comes up like that. Ugh. That could be Jeremy, you know?
Oh.
They use her fucking... her meat puppet as their little meat mech.
Can I throw out a third option, which is Prince of Darkness, which is the first episode I ever did on this podcast with you and Jeremy. And the weird alien Jesus Satan thing comes back and Jeremy comes back in analog.
He's like, CDs are so much better. I like tapes better.
Jeremy's like, I have an 8-track where my dick should be. And then he turns around and on his back, he is just a laser disc player.
Yeah, he's like, I only watch this on laser disc. I'm going to watch it on stupid DVD.
But no, listeners, we do want to know, like, a lot of you, we know for a fact, are parents, mm-hmm, and you love horror movies with us. So we want to know, like, do you struggle? Are there certain movies you can't watch after becoming a parent that made you uncomfortable? We'd love to know if that's a valid thing or if you're just as fucked up as Eric.
Yeah. Let's see. Or do you, not only does it not affect you, do you actively cheer when you go, yeah, fuck them kids, let's go. Cause that's usually my thing. You know, I always think of things like, you know, when people talk about how horrible true crime things like a Casey Anthony, mm-hmm, where they're like, that's so terrible. And they, and then when somebody says, I don't understand how you did it, I was like, person didn't have kids, you don't get it. I can understand where it comes from. It's not a good place, but I was like, no, I get why she did it.
Yeah, I like to consider them like late term abortions. Yeah. So.
my body, my house, my choice.
Well, so I might be jumping ahead, but Eric has let me know a lot in the last couple of weeks that he has a topic he really wanted us to get to. I don't know, Eric, do we have time?
Oh, can we talk about the best horror cocks?
Yes.
Yes. Really talk about this. Finally, it is here. I've wanted, listen, tits, I feel like, are a borderline for, like, I call that the standard bearer for most 80s horror films. If it has it's got to have boobs if there's chicks in it, right? But, mm-hmm, the cock is underutilized in movies. It really is, truly. It's not, and every time there is a cock in a horror movie, I'm always like, Erica, my sweet wife, has always pointed out, I am a master if I ever see bush or penis in any movie. I'm like, right there. Do you see that bush right there? Or that cock right there? I'll always point it out. my favorite, and I think easily it belongs on the Mount Rushmore of cocks in horror movies, is Castle Freak. Because, okay, A, you get to see it a lot. That's number one. You get to see it like every other scene that he's in where he's drooling down his thing. He just has that massive dong out. And that's on my Mount Rushmore, because when you see it, it is as scary as his face. You're like, you shouldn't be seeing this mentally challenged man who's been tortured for years and years, his penis, but here it is for the world to see.
Yeah, I just, that's what I call dick down syndrome. Like, I just don't. It makes me uncomfortable, because that's the problem with horror cock, though, is it's never a dick that you're like, God, I want that in me. You're like, oh, I can't sleep anymore. Like, it's just so scary. And then Eric knows I recently finally watched The Greasy Strangler.
Oh, thank you. Another one on my Mount Rushmore. You're talking.
I cried a lot after seeing that.
I have years ago when that movie came out, I had Chris Restivo over to my house with Jeremy, and we made him watch the entire Greasy Strangler. And for our listeners who aren't familiar with the great Chris Restivo, known homophobic man, probably the most of the homophobic, it was like showing the cross to Reagan the entire time. Like, he was just like, oh my God. And every time it came up, you know what we told him? That's just the one time you see it. It's not going to happen again. And then, oops, I forgot about it. It's in 80% of the movie. We made him. We got him like to the last 15 minutes until he couldn't take it anymore. And it is easily one of my favorite things I ever did to him.
It's one of the funniest horror movies I've ever seen, but it is also so upsetting. Yeah. Like, I haven't felt clean ever since I watched it.
The fact, I like that the one guy just has that, the Greasy Strangler stuff has a giant dong, but when he goes out to just wear stuff, it's still like down his leg. Like, when he's wearing like the see-through pants and he's sitting there on the bench with her and he's like, yep, we're just hanging out here. And then, but that's not even the only cock. You also see his son's cock, which is also, it's as big as that one is, it's super tiny. It's so good. It's really the best of both worlds.
It's very upsetting. I gotta tell you, like, I think in a weird way, isn't there a cock in that? Mandy.
Yeah, there is. There's a good cock scene in Mandy by the Jeremiah, the cult leader.
I don't know how to explain this, because like, I just don't have a quantifier for this, but watching Mandy somehow prepared me for the Greasy Strangler. I can't explain it. Don't ask me to.
No, I see where you're going with that. Now, my last entry into this genre of famous cocks in horror, I think it's not an actual cock now, but the way that it was used was in a cock-like fashion. Easily one of the hardest scenes to watch in any movie, especially when I was growing up. I thought the scene was particularly jarring. And you don't actually see the act happen. You just see what it was. And that is the movie Seven, when the guy is being interrogated because he had to fuck that lady with the giant knife dildo. That is... I know it's not an actual cock, but was said murder weapon in that, where he's like, he made me fuck her, like that. And I was like, that also belongs in my personal Mount Rushmore of horror cocks.
Yeah, that's fairly disturbing. I would say the two that I have that I haven't already mentioned. So if I'm not mistaken, and listeners, if I'm wrong, like, jog my memory. I believe it's the movie Antichrist with William Dafoe.
Okay.
I believe we see his dick. And it's been rumored for such a long time. William Dafoe has one of the biggest natural penises I have ever seen on a white actor. It is intimidating. And may I say, handsome.
Oh.
That nutbag has a great nutbag of his own. Like, that yeah. thing.
There's only two actors they really talk about having huge hogs. One of them is Willem Dafoe. The other is the guy who plays Don Draper, who says that his hog was so large that they had to make, they asked him to tie it back because it was distracting in scenes. So, shout outs to that guy. Get him in a horror movie where we can see that dong.
More like Dong Draper.
Yeah, because he has to drape it over his fucking shoulder to carry it around.
So this one's another weird one that I never hear talked about. Mm-hmm. And it's not like specifically one character. But I have to say, this has been a lifelong fascination is not the word. Disturbing film for me that I am actually not a fan of. Lords of Salem.
The Rob Zombie joint.
In the end of the movie, you see this like witch scene, this like cult scene happening, and these priests like things are all in a circle, like jerking these really aggressive penises.
Oh.
And it is just such a disturbing, close-up, uncomfortable scene. Like, they kind of look like dog dicks, and then they're normal dicks, and they're this veiny, and they're wet. And it just feels gross, and it's bothered me ever since. And it's been, like, a decade since I've seen this movie.
Ugh.
And it sticks with me forever. But you know what? That just made me realize, you know what else has a lot of dick and pussy? And not top tier of either. A lot of Ari Aster movies.
Yeah, he does like to throw a little dong in there. Midsommar has a good dong shot.
The end of Hereditary with the coven scene. They're all naked. Why does witchcraft involve so much nudity of ugly people? It's like witchcraft and polyamory go hand in hand. And they're like, hey, are you ugly and like to be naked? Would you like to be in this movie?
Yeah, and even when the witch is hot, you know that when she goes by a mirror, she's going to look like 150 years old. You know it's not going to be good.
I've got a witch's heart and a witch's teat.
I had one other that came to me while I was sitting here. Now, this isn't full Shaft showing, but I don't know why I remembered it. But if you have ever watched The Great Devil's Rejects, there's a wonderful lovemaking scene with the great Sid Haig where a prostitute blows his brains out because he's having a bad dream. You do get to see Sid Haig's balls in that scene from the one angle. And I, every time, like I pointed out, if I'm ever in a room we're watching, I was like, wait right here, you're going to see Sid Haig's balls. Look, it's right underneath her butt. You see that? That's his balls right there. That is Sid Haig's balls right there. So shout outs to Sid Haig, RIP, and those fucking beautiful plums that you put on camera for us. We appreciate you, good sir.
Do you think Jeremy is just like sitting next to him in the afterlife and is like, hey, I don't know if you heard, but my brother's a big fan of your balls.
Yeah, he's like nudging him. He's like, hey, my brother's about to talk about your balls real quick.
Hey, are you going to keep that? Can I have it?
Hey, would you sign my balls?
Hey, let's get in this hot tub together.
I would ask him to sign it like a Mad Magazine where I had to stretch it out to see the full signature. You know, instead it's just you see the S and the G when it's regularly and then you have to bat wing it out to see the whole thing.
God. Men are disgusting.
We are disgusting. Thank you for joining us again on another wonderful episode, the second installment of this. If you love us, and make sure you reach out and send us things on the socials as well as our email. If you'd like to tell about movies you can't watch, go ahead and give that email address one more time, Ash.
It's loyal2. The gore. So loyaltothegore@gmail.com.
Yeah. And get all you gore whores out there. Get on there. Tell us the things that you can't watch because of your kids now, that it's just too disturbing for you to watch. Check all that shit out and more. Ashley, you got anything special on the horizon that people can find you at?
Some of you may know the owner and projectionist at the Mahoning Drive-In passed away this past weekend, which is very, very sad. Yeah, very sad. So I was going to let our listeners know, I will be, as long as they're going to do it, just keep your eyes peeled in case something changes due to that happening at the Mahoning. But I will be at the Mahoning Drive-In on May 16th for the Motel Hell event that evening. So if you're in the area, would love to see you. If it's still on the schedule for them, come out and meet me, have a little merch for you, have some fun.
Beautiful. Yeah, definitely check all that shit. And all of Ashley's shows, you can find it at Ashley Pontius Laughs, .com. So hop on there. Get yourself a t-shirt while you're at it. I think you could use one, you know?
I haven't updated the store forever.
Shut up. I'm going to sell you shirts now. Get in there and start clicking and giving money. Otherwise, fuck off. The next time you can hear me in wonderful FM radio, I'll be in I'll be on the 98 Rock Morning Show. I'm filling in. And I'll be at the DC Improv on May 9th in the Brightbox Theater doing more murder mystery stuff on May 11th. So check all that shit out. Come see your boy, and keep your ears out and peeled for the Bussy album special thingy that is all edited up, and we're just trying to do all the other things that aren't fun, like making album art and agreeing with things. So check all that shit out. All that to come. Thanks again, and remember, stay loyal to the door.